This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yes, that line corn's on the right, baby. Not that Maggie's. Back in town. Yeah.
Maggie's back.
Chris McMahon.
Oh, it's Friday. On the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Friday morning. We made it. We made it through another week. Congratulations. As we take you all the way to 5 o'clock, a 3-hour Friday ride to 5 a.m. and the warm-up show. We got Nico on the other side taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Knicks still being unable to secure the 3 seed, losing to the Pistons. Oh, no! What if they play the Pistons in the playoffs? They can't control Cunningham. We'll get to the Rangers, and I wish the season would end just there. Pull a Costanza and just walk off with a 9-goal game against the Islanders. Call it a year. But let's start with where I'm most passionate about on this Friday morning. And again, as you know, I'm not going to be with you next week, so we're going to get hot and heavy on the draft when we come back. But I just can't. I can't wrap my mind around some of the conversation being talked about with the New York Giants in the draft. And we'll get to the Jets and what I think they should do in a little bit. And I've told you, if Shedeur Sanders is there for the Jets, I want the Jets to take Shedeur Sanders. But here's my problem with the New York Giants, because so much we are talking about it here. Keith talking about it. I hear the afternoon show talking about it. I'm reading a story from Connor Hughes. Sal was kind of at least on my side a little bit today. But like the conversation around the New York Giants and Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and what they do need to do to keep their job, and they need to win now. Well, let me just ask you one question, right? Because I think this is the basis of my thought process with the New York Giants. I understand that John Mara came out after he decided to keep Shane and Daboll, and he made it seem as if he's unhappy. That was really the main point of his message to you, the fans, through the media. He didn't come out and really give a major endorsement of either guy, certainly not of Brian Daboll. But he came out and wanted to make sure you understand, you frustrated, disenfranchised, angry, plain hiring fans who are fed up with the way the Giants have gone over the last, I don't know, 12 years. That's how long it's been. He wanted to make sure that you understand that he's pissed off too, that he's unhappy, that he's unsatisfied, that he doesn't like what's going on here, and that he's made it perfectly clear that he better be in a better mood this time next year. Otherwise, then eventually, heads will roll. And I understand that message, and we all react to it. We all went scurrying off into our own little corners and talking about what being happier means. Well, how many wins does that mean? Does he know how the strength of schedule? Has he seen the strength of schedule? Because I don't know what to expect. You know, I mean, let's be honest. And when we really should be asking, what the hell did Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, off of two miserable seasons, one worse than the next, what did they say to help convince John Mara? And maybe it was just simply he didn't want to do it. Maybe it was just simply he's had enough of hiring and firing, and it hasn't been done. He hasn't done a very good job of it. And maybe it's just that he felt like, well, eventually I got to stand on my convictions. I believed in them 3 years ago. I'll give them another year. Or maybe, like he said, he was sold on the message. And here's where I have a fundamental issue. Because, yes, I understand we're worried about if they don't win enough games and then the next regime comes in and they're locked into the picks made by Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and it doesn't make any sense and they need to win games. Well, here's my point. If they sold him on a message of coming back, what was that message? We're going to sign two lousy old veteran quarterbacks and try and win in a division that has the two NFC championship game contenders and Super Bowl champion in it against the toughest strength of schedule in the NFL. We're going to come out and win five or six games with two has-been quarterbacks with no future plan at the position. But hey, we might take the best player available at three. Was that the plan? Is that what was sold to John Mara? Is that what John Mara said, you know what, I was going to fire you until you told me we were going to get two lousy quarterbacks and possibly win more games than we did last year, which is damn near impossible not to do. Like, I don't understand. Where do the Giants go? I understand, hey, it's about winning. Hey, they can't afford, their jobs are on the line. Hey, they have to turn this thing around. This franchise has lost too many. I get all of that, and I understand it. And I know they have to have a better season, clearly. And here's a secret. It's almost damn near impossible not to have a better season. But what's the future of the franchise? Because when the owner is making a decision about whether or not to continue with the GM and the head coach, and whether or not there's a vision and a plan, what is the vision and the plan? Because I know I'm hung up on this, right? And I don't know if it's just years of watching NFL football or the idea that I understand how important the quarterback position is. And we say it, and we say it tongue in cheek, and it comes out until it comes time to pick a quarterback. And then we pick them apart. Then we decide, nope, this isn't good enough. That's not good enough. This isn't good enough. While we scream all season long, the quarterback play sucks. As we scream all year long, the quarterback can't win. As we scream all year long, you need a quarterback to succeed in the NFL until it comes time to make that decision. And then we're all like, well, this guy doesn't do this good enough. He doesn't do that good enough. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Why don't we get a why don't we get an edge rusher who won't impact winning? Well, Jameis Winston is throwing interceptions. I mean, like, honestly, the team they have constructed already, the way they've impacted free agency, some of the players that are on this team, if Andrew Thomas stays healthy, that offensive line can be a hell of a lot better. And if he's not healthy and the offensive line sucks, I can promise you a shutdown corner isn't going to win them a lot of games in this division. But if Andrew Thomas stays healthy, they have Dexter Lawrence, they have Burns, they have Thibodeau. Right there, those three. Dexter Lawrence is probably the best pass-rushing interior defensive lineman in the sport. Burns did a damn good job last year. Thibodeau is a pedestrian, run-of-the-mill, slightly above average, maybe, edge rusher. Not good enough for where he was picked, granted, but he is what he is. They just added the best cornerback in free agency, probably. They added the best safety in free agency. Like, they've impacted their team. They're going to have the second pick in the second round. There's going to be other ways to impact this team. They got Malik Nabers last year. Like, again, like, I think this is a good spot for a young quarterback to succeed in. And I'm just wondering, because we're so focused on the idea they have to win games to save their jobs, don't they have to have a plan? Didn't they have to sell John Mara on where this franchise is going? Because if the answer was, hey, I'll win you seven games next year, they should have been fired. If that's all it took, if that was, hey, listen, we look what happened when we finally got a good, competent quarterback game out of Locke. Right? We were able to beat the Colts. We put up a bunch of points. We saved you from the embarrassment of the first team in NFL history to lose every single game of a nine-game home schedule. Look at what we were able to do when Drew Locke played well. And I guarantee you, I'll be able to bring it at worst Russell Wilson, and we'll probably, you know, we'll win seven, eight games, and at least, or six or seven games, and at least it'll look like, you know, football. And the fans won't want to fly planes over the building. Great. Great. And then next year, when Russell Wilson's a year older and we realize he sucks and Jameis Winston isn't a legitimate option, where are they going next year after winning seven, eight games? What's the future? And then I'm like, and then I think we get too cute because I'm reading Connor Hughes, who I respect. I think he does a great job for SNY. And he says the first line is 100% correct of his article that came out. You know, that we've been the Giants. It's a, you know,
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things. Like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
A couple of days old, but like Giants must find their next future quarterback. I agree. Followed by, but GM Joe Shane won't act reckless. Well, what's the most important thing coming out of this draft? Like, really, what are the Giants trying to do? Because with the same breath, people will tell me how important it is to win games, and then the next line will, well, it's going to be impossible for them to win a lot of games. Well, then what are we trying to do? Hey, they must win games, but hey, they play in an impossible division and have the toughest strength of schedule in the NFL. So what are they going to win with Russell Wilson? The most important part is finding who the quarterback is in the future. And I don't want to be reckless either. No one likes the term reckless. But I also don't want to miss out on the quarterback because I was afraid to take him third, and we have no idea how the draft goes. We saw Michael Penix go in a place nobody expected him to go. We saw Bo Nix go in a place nobody expected him to go. And all of you told me, and everybody told me, and everybody, you can't, listen, I understand, if you can't get the top two quarterbacks, then you don't draft a quarterback. Let's not do anything crazy. Bo Nix can't play. Michael Penix is how old? I mean, let's be honest. And he was terrible in the championship game. Like, let's hold cool off here. Meanwhile, both of those guys look great, and the Giants would be in so much better of a standing even if they lost every game last year, particularly if they lost every game because they'd have the first pick. But, like, they'd be in a such better standing if they had those two guys. We're always afraid to take the leap. We're never satisfied. He's got to be the perfect prospect. He's got to be the perfect quarterback. And we'll stand here, and some of you might even think, Brian Daboll's a quarterback guy, right? He had the best year out of Daniel Jones' career the first year. He stopped him from being a turnover machine and turned him into the least turned over quarterback in the league before eventually injuries and just Daniel Jones being afraid to throw the football down the field eventually came back and bit them. Tommy DeVito actually won games against playoff teams and became a household name to the point where he's selling pizza sauce and taking pictures with the great Sean Mirage in the Islanders box. Like, I'm just saying. He's an undrafted nobody who won games against the team in the Green Bay Packers who went on to win playoff games and was this close to getting to an NFC championship game. And stop telling me he didn't help develop Josh Allen. It's ridiculous to say that. Is Josh Allen uber talented? Of course. Of course he is. Did you see him his rookie year? Did you see the did you hear about him going into the draft? Playing at Wyoming and having being no idea who he played against, understanding he has raw talent, but he was the biggest project in the draft. Everybody said it then. That's why he went where he went instead of the top of the draft. He was raw talent, throw the ball 100 miles, run like a deer, but who the hell knows if he could play the position of quarterback? And he turned the ball over more than anybody else in the league his rookie season and then was helped to develop him. Brian Daboll had something to do with that. You could say a little, a lot, whatever. He was in the room teaching him, and he went from could hardly play as a rookie, turning the ball over constantly, to becoming one of the best players in the NFL. I mean, do you do that without great talent? No, of course not. Josh Allen, of course. But people sure want to give Cliff Kingsbury credit for what just happened in Washington, and yet he was great from the jump. Daniels was great first season he took them to the NFC Championship game. There was no maturation. There was no terrible Daniels into great Daniels. We saw that process happen over time with Josh Allen, and yet Cliff Kingsbury is getting all kinds of credit for how well he did with Daniels, but nobody wants to give credit now, 3 years later. Revisionist history because he sucked the last 2 years as a head coach. Let's get him the quarterback. Let's have a plan for the future. And then, you know what? Honestly, if you're John Mara, if you're listening, what would you rather have? Put yourself in the owner's shoes. Put yourself in the owner of the New York Giants' shoes. And I know that's difficult, right? And I understand at his age, his love for the team, you know, wanting to win all these games, you know, want to give it to the fans, want meaningful football in December. Like, I get it. I get it. He's providing a product. But if you're the owner of the New York Giants, what sounds better to you? Winning 7 games or 8 games max with a used-to-be-great quarterback who no longer is, who isn't the future of the team, who there's no real idea of moving forward with whatsoever? Do I want to have a 7-8-win team with no future? Or would I rather have a team that doesn't win, a team that is building towards something, a team that has a young quarterback who comes in and plays, a team that might win less than 6 or 7, which, by the way, let me tell you something, they're going to win more than 3 games. It's hard to win 3 games. It's difficult to be that bad. I don't care who they play, who the quarterback is, they're going to win 5-6 games because that's the NFL. And they've gotten better everywhere else. Would you rather be an 8-win team with no future at the quarterback position, or would you rather be a 5-6-win team with the idea of a developing young quarterback in the hands of a coach I know has done it before? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I understand it's about winning now. I get it. But they're not going to win. And they're not the Jets, I'm sorry. And I know I've screamed about how important it is for the Jets to win. The Giants don't have the longest playoff drought in professional sports. We have seen, me, you, most people listening, except maybe the 12-year-olds who are listening right now at 2:17 in the morning, there's probably not many of you, but like all of you have seen a Super Bowl championship. We've seen parades. We know who Eli Manning is. They've won 4 Super Bowls. The Jets haven't been to a Super Bowl since 1969, and they currently have the longest postseason drought in professional sports. As ugly as it's been for the New York Giants, I don't put them in the same boat of having to win now. As well as the young, talented roster that they're trying to build around and give contracts to. Every other article I see written about the Jets is, oh, you got to pay your wide receiver. Oh, you got to pay your shutdown corner. Oh, you got to pay this guy. You got to pay that guy. Yeah. You got to pay those guys. Like, I have a young, talented core to the point they got Aaron Rodgers and everybody picked Super Bowl. Not just because of Aaron Rodgers, but because of the team he was joining. They do have some good players. We believe in the Jets roster on some level. Like, it's about winning now for the New York Jets. The Giants, like, it should be about getting better and winning some games now. But ultimately, like, I don't want to win 8 games with no future. And to say, well, listen, it's really important to find the future quarterback, but let's not be crazy. Okay, don't be crazy. Don't take a chance. Don't take a chance on a kid who, like, I was listening to the afternoon show today, and Evan was talking about the tight end out of Penn State and how, and other draft picks who go to smaller schools and find themselves or turn quarterback into tight end, and it really shows they want to be great when they start somewhere else and goes, well, how about starting, and I know his father helped him along the way, but you know, starting where Shedeur Sanders started, getting to Colorado, playing behind a terrible offensive line, which we know has been a bugaboo for the New York Giants, and still throwing touchdown passes and limiting turnovers. How about being as accurate as he's been? How about dealing with the pressure of being Deion Sanders' son and thrusted into the spotlight? How about the idea that because of that, he's probably more built up to be a New York Giants quarterback than anybody else in this draft? I don't want to pick the wrong quarterback. I don't want to get a guy that sucks. That's obvious. Everybody feels that way. But I also don't want to know that I don't have one. I don't want to go into next season thinking, wow, this is where we are as the New York Giants organization. Maybe we can win 7 games and surprise people with no real plan or future at the quarterback position. Great. I really can't wait for that. I'm going to feel so good at the end of the year when they win 8 games and miss the playoffs and then are drafting 19th and 20th next year with no real prospect of getting a future quarterback. And we can say, hey, wasn't it fun watching Russell Wilson not be that good? I don't get it. And the more I hear it and the more that I hear people talk and the more I think about it, I can't understand the idea of, let's roll with the crap, but it's going to be better crap. And then the future, well, we'll worry about the future when we get to it. First, we got to get to slightly better crap. And then we'll get to slightly better crap than that. And then hopefully, eventually, maybe within the next couple of years, we can get to not so terrible. And then once we get to not so terrible, then we can try from a position that makes it so much more difficult to find that quarterback, then we'll try and find the future quarterback. But until then, I mean, geez, I don't want to be reckless. I'm starting to feel like I'm in the minority here. I think early on, everyone felt like when you're drafting third, you take a quarterback, and now it's kind of gotten away because we've had the opportunity to pick apart Shedeur Sanders for a month now. More than that. And everything you hear, they signed 2 quarterbacks. Oh, I got this one saying, I've heard whispers they don't like Shedeur. I've heard whispers they don't like Shedeur. Oh, they're having lunch with Carter. Carter's coming in for a meeting. Like, all of this, I'm not saying it's not accurate. Maybe it is. Maybe they don't like Shedeur Sanders. Maybe they're going to draft Carter or Hunter if he's there. You know, I'm not telling you I know what the Giants are thinking and how they feel about Shedeur Sanders. And I guess this is all predicated, and I'm fine. I could yell and give you my honest opinion. At the same time, if Brian Daboll doesn't like him as a player, I'm not saying they should force it. So it's all dependent on what Brian Daboll believes and what the Giants believe. But if they think he can be a starting quarterback, if they think he can be a prospect, if they think he could be a franchise quarterback who starts, like Evan and Tiki asked the question, like, how would you feel like if he was Baker Mayfield or if like he was a 7-year starter? If he is a starter for the New York Giants for 7 years, where else are you getting that level of impact? Where else? And if he's good enough to be that, maybe Brian Daboll can make him better than that. And that's why I hired him, right? I hired him, and then I kept him for what? To see if he can teach an old dog new tricks? Like, none of it makes any sense to me. Draft the quarterback. Make sure you get one in the first and second round. And if that means being reckless, damn it, be reckless. That's it. Because fortune favors the bold. And I've said that a lot. Fortune favors the bold. Being careful gets you nothing. I don't want to be careful. They've been careful. They were careful with not drafting Bo Nix. They were careful with not drafting Michael Penix. They were careful. Where's careful got them? Go be bold. Go be bold. And if you fall on your face, next year they'll have a new GM and a new head coach, and I'll be singing this song at 2:30 in the morning in April. Come next year, draft the quarterback, draft the quarterback, draft the quarterback. I don't care how many times you have to spin that wheel. You spin it until it lands bullseye, which I don't think there's a bullseye on a spinning wheel, but you get what I'm saying.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.